ladies and gentlemen. This is the Broadcasting Corporation of Japan and its sixth transmission with the latest news. It is now 14 minutes before midnight on Monday evening, February 2nd, here in Tokyo, as we present the latest news. In an official communique issued at 8:40 o'clock tonight, Monday, the Imperial Headquarters announced that a squadron of Japanese armored planes operating in the Malay area on Saturday afternoon conducted a large-scale overload upon Singapore, blasting Sumatra airfield and other important military establishments there. On a broadside over Singapore Island, the Japanese planes fought 19 planes of the Hurricane type and two of the Buffalo, shooting down 13 of them. Three of them, however, are unconfirmed. The loss on the Japanese side is one plane, which crushed itself against the ground, the communique added. The Imperial Headquarters was 7:30 o'clock Monday evening. Disclosed that a fleet of the United States Navy composed of an aircraft carrier and a squadron of heavy cruisers and destroyers were repulsed after an encounter with units of the Japanese Navy early on Sunday morning. The announcement disclosed that the American fleet appeared toward the Japanese mandated Marshall Islands. The Japanese failed a direct hit on a heavy cruiser, causing huge fires while 11 American planes were shot down as well as damages to several other craft. One small Japanese vessel was partially damaged, while flight casualty was done to the land vessel. The Japanese casualty list 28 killed and wounded. Japanese naval fighters shot down 7 enemy planes at Saturday, while large formations attacked the enemy air bases at Amboina, Langley, Kuripara, and Paparoya. It was announced at Imperial Headquarters on Monday evening. During this particular attack, the Japanese also destroyed the enemy's military establishment in Amboina. Meanwhile, other Japanese naval planes on the same day raided enemy transports in the bunker state of the eastern coast of Sumatra and either sank or paralyzed 3 enemy fighters of 8,000 tons, 6,000 tons, and 5,000 ton class respectively, the communique also added. From the Malay front, the main units of the Japanese army sweeping down the Malay Peninsula are now pushing toward the Johor waterway, like tidal waves, heralding a fierce offensive on Singapore. According to reports reaching here from the first line front, the sky over Johor Strait is covered with columns of black smoke. Johor Bahru. According to a reconnaissance of the Japanese Army aircraft Sunday, the Singapore naval harbor is now in utter confusion with crews of transport vessels thronging under severe Japanese bombing. Amid groups of warehouses ablaze along the piers, thousands of defeated British troops and civilians were seen rushing to the transports for seeking refuge in Java and Sumatra. Nixon, a European dispatch from Singapore, stated Sunday that the city of Singapore has now turned into a stage of actual fighting, with roars of gunfire pealing incessantly. Johor Bahru. The Malayans and Indians are indignant at the actions of the British troops in Singapore toward the Malayan soldiers, whose entry into the first citadel of Singapore was just at a point not off the causeway. The British troops, in addition to this cruel conduct toward the Malayans, disarmed them before they were staged stop at the entrance of the causeway. From the Malayan warfront, the world's largest floating dock capable of repairing a 50,000-ton battleship lying off the Seletar Naval Base at Singapore was bombed and sunk after a determined aerial attack by the Japanese air units on Saturday. The air over Singapore swam with formations of Japanese high-diving bombers on British naval and air bases at Seletar. The bombing and the explosion of the ammunition dumps shut the island as pillars of smoke rose into the skies. British batteries and at Cunningham, Brighton Island, and Bukun Island were completely silenced since Sunday morning. From the Japanese base, 12 enemy planes were shot down over Singapore Saturday alone, reports the Nichi Dispatch. Japanese heavy bombers on their way home from their attack on Singapore at noon Saturday encountered 10 challenging hurricanes and shot down 6 of them in a breathtaking aerial combat, while other Japanese bomber formations shot down 5 hurricanes over 9 plane formations. Meanwhile, over a certain point, one Bosnia fighter was shot down in flames. During the aerial combat, one Japanese fighter plane was lost. Jovo Barat. With Malay and Indian nationals barred from Singapore Island because of the destructions of the Jovo Causeway by the retreating British troops. These refugees, since Saturday afternoon, have been flocking in great numbers to Japanese-occupied districts. Japanese forces Monday instructed the refugees to travel as quickly as possible to a point north of Kulai and Kotatindi, and at the same time issued a warning that persons found to be in communications with the enemy are vulnerable to hinder military operations will be strictly punished. The complete occupations of the city of Moulmein in Burma was announced by the Imperial Headquarters late Monday afternoon. The occupation took place on the evening of January 31st after a relentless drive by the Japanese army units on the face of a driving rainstorm. Moulmein is situated on the west coast of Burma on the eastern fringe of the Gulf of Martaban. Listen. A UPD dispatch from Batavia Monday describes that the city of Batavia has turned into a melting pot with crowds of refugees of almost every allied nationality. Hotels which have been filled with officers in uniforms of the allied forces have become dormitories of refugees struck with fear that crowds of Japanese warplanes and acres of Japanese tanks are rushing upon them in chase of the British forces into Singapore. This is the Broadcasting Corporation of Japan. We continue with your news. The Japanese forces landed at Amboy now, important military positions in the Banda Sea, at dawn on January 31st. It was announced by the Imperial Headquarters at noon Monday. Under close cooperation between the Japanese army and naval forces, the Japanese forces have succeeded in landing their troops on Amboy now Island and are further expanding their war results. Saigon. Following the landing on Amboy Island, Japanese army units have also occupied an enemy airfield in the vicinity of Amboy now, according to a Sydney telegram of the Arab news agency reaching Saigon. Japanese troops are now meeting up remnant enemies, so use the telegram as. Listen. The Dutch East Indies Cyclone Saturday admitted the Japanese landing at Amboy now. Japanese bombers seriously bear Amboy now for as long as 2 hours as Japanese transports approach the island. Japanese naval and air forces also concentrated their bombardment on several points on the island, the dispatch revealed. The United States Navy Department announced as if the United States naval forces dealt a heavy blow to the Japanese Navy in the Makassar Strait. This piece of American demagogy makes us wonder if the United States Navy is dreaming a big dream. Supposing the United States gave a big blow to Japan, why don't the United States Navy continue receipts in succession and allow important points in the Dutch East Indies to fall one after another into the enemy's hands? Just as they try to cover up the great loss sustained at Hawaii, the United States Navy is broadcasting suspicious news regarding the Dutch East Indies situation, completely overlooking the discouraging status which the United States Army finds itself now in the Corregidor Island in the Philippines. In view of the glaring fact that combined, south of Makassar and Amboy now, a naval port of the Dutch East Indies were captured by the Japanese a few days after the alleged victory of the United States in the Makassar, we are forced to make the following analysis. That whether the Japanese force still maintains the large fleet, or the United States naval authorities became the target of ridicule by making public quotes, news sent from Admiral Hart and the Dutch East Indies. From a war front in Burma, the Japanese forces operating in Burma severely attacked enemy defense forces on highlands south of Khao Phalik and occupied the same island Saturday morning. The Japanese forces are further expanding their war results from half the feet of the fleeing enemy. Waves after waves of Japanese bomber formations shot tons of bombs over the city of Rangoon all day on Saturday, causing great destructions and fire on the military establishment from the Burmese capital, reports the Rangoon dispatch. From a certain base in South China, The Japanese forces operating in Borneo have virtually placed the whole of Borneo under Japanese control. Almost all the enemy air bases in Borneo have been captured by the Japanese forces by January 30th. With the control of the entire Malay Peninsula, the Japanese South Seas operations are expected to expand further over the entire area of the southwestern Pacific. You are listening to a newscast from Radio Tokyo. Listen. While the Dutch East Indies military authorities are maintaining silence regarding the Japanese landing operations against the Dutch East Indies, a UP dispatch from Batavia said Sunday that the whole withdrawal of British forces from Malaya has greatly increased the Japanese pressure against the Dutch East Indies. The UP dispatch states that the defeat of British forces and the Malay Peninsula has brought about a decisive peak in the Japanese offensive against the Dutch East Indies. If the Japanese forces occupy the Singapore fortifications, Japan will further increase its pressure against such territories of Singapore as its military base, as far from the previous said. Johor Bahru, interviewed by a Domi correspondent, Sir Ibrahim Sovel of Johor stated that he had been assured of the safety of lives and properties of the Malayans when the Japanese forces made landing operations on the peninsula, brushing aside British forces who had been so oppressive upon the people of Malay. He expressed his confidence that Japan can be depended upon because Japan is the only country which can start the work of constructing peace at all early stages, adding that now is the time to get off the fence and cooperate with Japan in the great task of constructions of greater East Asia. Reflecting grave sentiment created by the complete Japanese occupation of the Malay Peninsula, the Australian government called the emergency cabinet meeting on Sunday to discuss the defense problem of Australia, faced in Melbourne dispatch. The Canberra government refused to comment on the new defense program to cope with the prevailing situations in Malaya and the Dutch East Indies. And your last news item is from Manila. In order to prevent wartime profiteering and to curb the rising tendency of commodity prices, the Japanese military authorities in Manila have announced that price control regulations will be enforced effective February 7th. The announcement warned that drastic punishment will be meted out to all persons who violate orders. That, ladies and gentlemen, concludes the news from Radio Tokyo.
Prime Minister Curtin said today that he was amazed and shocked at allegations of any doubt about the complete unity of all the people of Australia and the people of Great Britain. Curtin added, I quote, what was true of the people has always been true of their government. It's true of the present government. Nothing has been said or done since the war began which has had any purpose other than that of consolidating the fighting power of Great Britain and the Commonwealth in the face of a Canandaigua. It has always been the enemy's practice, particularly that of the Berlin and Tokyo propagandists, to plow and drive wedges between the motherland and the Dominion. No Australian, and certainly no Britisher, having any sense of perspective, would be a party to such an obvious device. Our unity is now more widely based. We have great countries as our associates in this struggle for freedom, the United States of America, Russia, China, and the Dutch. We all stand together in this struggle. Unquote. Mr. Curtin said that ensuring the machinery for joint action was a problem of ways and means. Opinion as to how best to accomplish this, and for their purpose, not less narrowly but more noisy. He continued, but loyalty now requires work. It expresses itself in the production of fighting equipment, the right use of that equipment, and the disposing of our forces as the result of collaboration, so that we shall not have the enemy overtaking bands of patriots in isolated places and overwhelming them one by one. All that the Australian government has done is to ask that in the conduct of the war in the Pacific, there shall be a Pacific Council. And in the conduct of the total war, there shall be scope for Australia's voice being heard when the interior war cabinet is making this important decision. I am unable to discover any disloyalty to the unity of the Empire or the unity of the Allied in projects of that kind. On the contrary, The homogeneity of the empire was best served by machinery, giving that homogeneity an undoubted substance." Today, after a meeting of the Royal Cabinet, the Chinese to announce big extensions of Australian aircraft manufacture as purchases for the immediate defense of Australia. The Royal Cabinet is also authorized an increase in the program for production of a certain type of bomber. But it has also decided to embark on production of a new type of bomber, an Australian design, which would be manufactured almost entirely from Australian resources. In addition to these increases in local production, it can instead that Royal Cabinet has arranged for procuring combat planes, including tanks. With the armies of the British Commonwealth facing the Japanese across the narrow Johor Strait, and the defense of Singapore adding another chapter to those in which British and Australian troops have been forced to fight a desperate defense, the reaction of the Australian public to the new war development is calm and determined. Late dispatches from Captain Ian Fitchett, the official correspondent with the ARS in Malaya, say that 36 hours after the blowing up of the causeway between the island and the mainland, the troops looked like new men. A good night's sleep and a change of clothing had fixed them up after their arduous campaign. Fitchett says that this amazing quick recovery from sea would be possible only to be some men. He mentions that the steadiness of the Asiatic population, even during raids on Earth, is outstanding. Best reaction is realistic and friendly. The argument says, quote, "If Singapore are no longer capable of being moved and started armed to the teeth against any threat from north, east, and west, we must split our defenses into two. One guarding the Netherlands and cities, Australia, New Zealand, and Japan, and the other, Burma, the vital Burma Road, and Libya." Unquote. The Sydney Morning Herald reviews the campaign in Malaya and says that wherever the British Commonwealth troops have been able to bring the Japanese to a take-out battle, they have proved themselves to be the better fighters. The tragedy of Malaya was the such fine fighting material that never had a chance to sound its manner and determination of success. The Sydney Morning Herald asks that we can expect to see soon a large-scale Japanese attempt to capture southern Burma, with the object of cutting China off from Allied aid and expanding the Allies of an important base for offensive operations. On the other flank, in the paper, the Japanese invading force is heavily attacking Mangareva Island, where the Dutch have an important naval base commanding the approaches to Dutch New Guinea and the Salini. The Herald adds, "Truly a crisis in the Allied Pacific fortune has been reached, makes more than ever apparent the need of reinforcement to save the key factors of opposition in the southwest because it's something overwhelming." The Melbourne Herald says there's no reason to be pessimistic over Singapore's ability to withstand the sea for the weeks or months that may be necessary before some triple results can reach its equivalent. It adds that every heavy day for which the defenders of Singapore hold the fort against air and land attacks will be another day given to us in security. Security not to be cover for ourselves, but to prepare our arms to go out and meet the enemy where he's pushing his attack." Unquote. Major General von Oyen, commandant of the Indian Army Air Force, rejects the theory of exceptional skill on the part of the Japanese airmen. He bases his view on reports from his sight. General von Oyen told Jeffrey Cabot, Melbourne Herald's special representative in Java, that the Japanese tend to have one capable man in each quadrant. The others are much less capable and just followed. The Indian fighter pilot said that many Japanese do best. Major General von Oyen added, "Iron Buffalo and Curtis P-36 fighters, which are much slower than the Japanese fighters, nevertheless have a good chance to get them. Three of our fighters over Malaya attacked 6 or 8 Japanese Navy heroes, shooting down three without something to hit themselves." Unquote. Obvious quality of Japanese airmen is much similar to the Dutch, the British airmen, Major General von Oyen. He added that both British and American bomb sites, particularly the American, were superior to the Japanese. Dutch officers who were attached to the Australian Imperial Force in Malaya to study jungle warfare have returned to Bangkok. Captain F.W. Coulter, without being able to remember that the Swedes and Italians have obeyed the coolness and discipline of the Italians long and hard military action on the Central Front. He was with the Australians for 10 days during the withdrawal from Gemma to Renka. He left them in good order with comparatively light casualties despite persistent shelling, dive bombing and machine guns. The worst ordeal was dive bombing at Sin Tan. The Australians experienced the consciousness of their helplessness against the bombing of the Japanese carried out in Relay. Captain Sosa said it was noticeable that the accuracy of their Japanese bombing decreased immediately they were opposed in the air. He said the Australians placed machine gun fire with the utmost power, and they charged with the bayonet following Japanese close. The Japanese then immediately fled, reported Captain Sosa. This is the news from Australia. The federal minister still expressed surprise at the statement of the president of Press Wireless, Mr. Joseph Gilman, that two-way communications between the United States and Australia are poor and subject to long delays. In a letter to Australia's minister in Washington, R.G. Smith, Mr. Gilman asked him to secure permission to establish a press service to Australia. Ministers here point out that only 5 weeks ago, a new general commercial radio telecom service was opened between Australia and the United States. This service is available for press cut, and supplements the cable channel between Northern America, the cable channel with North America, and the Beam wireless service to Canada. Referring to Mr. Pearson's statement that only the attitude of the Australian government prevented the establishment of a fast, efficient, secure service, Deputy Prime Minister Hall says our first, the government had not received any request for permission to open a special press radio service between Australia and the United States. No communication on the matter had yet been received from the state. War Sutton has approved the regulations to make the Voluntary Defense Corps, the VDC, part of the military forces of the company. The Army Minister said in Melbourne that this would dispel any doubts as to the official status of the force. The force said that men between the ages of 18 and 60 could join the DDC. Under the new regulations, all members will be required to enlist. This has been found necessary so that they will have full status as soldiers in case they go into action. They will have the same compensation rights as other members of the military. Units of the DDC will form centers of resistance throughout the whole of the Commonwealth so that in the event of an invasion, the enemy will be obliged to fight his resistance way. And that's the end of the news from our place.